problem is, as you take the acorn nut down, it can actually break some of the finer stranded wire instead of compressing it. You're better off using solid copper. Number six is good. And bending it into a U fashion, placing it in the acorn, and then torquing it down to specs. That's the standard way to make that connection. I would not use braid. Back to you, Dick. KC2WGB.
Buy it, or are we talking about ramming a copper pipe in the ground here? when you get that much longer grounding rod, Glenn. KC2QIQ, KQRIW.
Amen.
There's a comment that you might probably want to pick up after this, Dick, but certainly you can get the ground rods industrially up to 16 feet, which I don't think you'd ever need longer. If you have a hard time locating one of those, you can always get up to 20-foot half-inch or three-quarter-inch copper pipe. A little more expensive to do it that way, but if you need to, you know, hey, it's available. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Very fine, Glenn. Person who said comment, you're going to come after John. John signed in earlier, and then we're going to pick you up. John first, KC2WGB, K2RIW on the TechNet.
KC2WGB. Yes, Dick, what Glenn is saying is absolutely correct. You can get 2 8-foot rods and have them braced together with a coupling. Very cheap. The shops will do it for, you know, a few dollars. So you can probably get it done for nothing also. But in my installation, I not only have the 10-foot ground rod, I have a buried grillage plate, which is copper. It's down about 5 foot. It's 3 foot by 3 foot, and that's my extra ground. That's how I did it. But that's a lot of work. I don't know if people want to go through that, but that sure gave me much better results in grounding. So back to you, Dick, KC2WGB.
Yeah, that's a brand new word for me, John. A grillage plate. Grillage plate. Is that a brand name? Is that a perforated piece of sheet copper galvanized? Is it a piece of turkey wire? What is grillage plate? Give us a few words on that one, John. KC2WGB. And how expensive? K2RIW in the TechNet.
I bought a piece of, I think it was 8th inch or maybe 3/16 copper plate. It's all 100% copper. And it, well, grillage plate, because when you do foundations and you need something to stand it on, you put a wire reinforced, and they call that grillage, and it's buried in a horizontal attitude instead of vertical for compression weights. But that's what it's termed, a grillage plate. But that's it. But yeah, it's 100% copper, and I had a nice piece of cable exothermic welded to the plate, and produced very good ground results.
Now, you are on Toad Hill, a very high hill in Richmond County, in other words, Staten Island. As such, because you're so high above sea level, I guess you had to do some somewhat heroic things to establish a good ground. Is that approximately what drove you in that direction, John? Go ahead.
Yes, Dick, because I have, I'm basically on a serpentine mound. If I go down 12 inches, there's no more dirt. It's all rock, but it's very soft rock. And my ground rod went right down really easy, just with a piece of three-quarter pipe with a cap on the end of it. And that's what I used to drive it, just lifting it up and down. Then it went down full length, and that's how I got the ground rod in. But it wasn't sufficient. It got me close to about 19 ohms, somewhere around there, and I wanted it lower. 25 ohms is acceptable, but I wanted to make sure, because although I've never been drastically hit by lightning, I am exposed.
Hey, you just gave us another interesting piece of quantitative information that I didn't have. When it comes to the quality of ground, is there a standard somewhere that says it better be under 25 ohms? Where did the number 25 come from, John? Over to you, K2RIW.
In the old New York City code, 25 ohms was the acceptable value for a sufficient ground on electrical systems. Glenn probably has the latest updates on it, but that's what it was when I was there. Maybe the new universal code that they have now, it might be different, but that is the specific rating they had given.
Thank you, John. That's a good one. Okay. A person who said comment, please give us slowly, after the right amount of delay, your call letters, your name, and then proceed with your comment. Over to you, sir. K2RIW in the TechNet.
Good evening, Dick. It's Ed, K2TJE. I sent away for a book, a company that makes megas. They look
recommend that if you need more than one rod, do not go in that spot more than 8 feet. If you drive another rod 10 feet away, and they mentioned exactly 10 feet, and if you need additional rods, another 10 feet. I would use, though, a heavier gauge wire between rod 1 and rod 2, because of the current flow. Over.
Understand that, Dick.
Go ahead, John.
Well, what I think Glenn was trying to say is, if you do not have enough conductivity in the first 8 feet, going a few feet away and driving another rod is not going to give you that much more conductivity. It's probably going to be very close to the same. Going deeper, getting closer to the water table, resistivity improves.
Thanks, Adele, on the head.
Okay, very fine. John and Ed are slowly getting a lot smarter about grounds. And I'm hearing you very loud, Ed, on the input, because you're in Bohemia and that's my backyard. Through the machine, you were a bit noisy, as you may or may not know, and I'm not sure whether you're using the eastern input or the western input, but you could use a little bit more power or a little bit more antenna aimed at the repeater. We heard everything you said, but there was a little bit of noise. And with any further comments on grounding, give me a call. Let us right now. K2RIW on the TechNet.
WA2SA Washington.
Okay, I heard W-E-2-S-A-Y, and maybe there was another person. I'll go right ahead, Doug. And out there in Rocky Point, one of those guys have to do for grounding. With a name like Rocky Point, it sounds like getting a ground is not easy. W-E-2-S-A-Y, K-2-R-I-W.
Hi, Dick and the group. A comment and a question. The comment is, well, the... One of the comments is that I don't know what you have to do for a ground out here. It is a rocky area. Of course, that's where the moraine came through when the glacier came on. Anyway, the comment is this. One of the fellows there said you have to have 25 ohms or less resistance. And my question is, resistance to what? One end of the ohm meter is on your ground rod. What does the other end of the lead go to? So that's my the other comment is this. I seem to remember looking in not only in the standard for grounding what do they call it, the national standard, but also something I saw on QST maybe a year ago, that you are supposed to tie your ground rod into the power ground rod, which is kind of a problem in many cases. It would be a problem for me because I wouldn't put the antenna anywhere near where the power line comes in. Back to the net, WA2SAY.
Yeah, Don, good question, Doug. So, John, you started this off. Where do you put that other lead? I'm going to make a guess that in many situations you're putting in two separate grounding rods, grounding systems, maybe on opposite corners of the building, and you're measuring the impedance between them. And I've got a funny story about grounding that I'll give you if you answer your question, John. So what is the New York City code technique for confirming that 25 ohms? KC2WGB, K2RIW in the TechNet.
KC2QIQ in common.
Glenn recognized John first. Go ahead, John.
Okay, Dick, what we used to do, coming into the major structures, you always have like a fire alarm pipe and you have your New York City water supply pipe, which is quite convoluted out into the ground, and that's usually a good reference point. Also, there are grid maps that are laid under substations which are considered to be almost zero ohms, so you could reference that and the water pipe system to get a good reference. But it's not always 100%, but it's good enough to be acceptable. Maybe Glenn has some more information on that. And he's later. He's up to date on the code. KC2WGB.
Very good, John. Glenn, wait for the beeps, and you got it. preference in a home structure, Dick, residential, is the neutral ground return of your box. So in other words, you should have a neutral ground connection at the box less than 25 ohms, and preferably an order of magnitude less than that. So, and then you can reference ground rods to that as well. So ground rods, a ground rod of 25 ohms is excellent for home residential. But my real comment was for how do you ground in a rocky area? Does anybody here have an idea? Because I know what the industrial solution is, and it's a very, very good one. And rock is not as bad a ground as you think. Back to you, Dick. K2RW, KC2QIQ.
It takes Kenny with a comment. Okay, Greg, I think it was CXK. I know that my buddy, Dr. Tom Williams, WA1MBA, he lives literally on top of a mountain in northern Massachusetts, and he gets struck by lightning rather frequently, and it's a very rocky chunk of soil that he's on, and he had to go through hell in order to establish EIE standard ground, and it consisted of a whole lot of grounding rods and other metal plates and whatever, all interconnected. He had to put a lot of stuff in the earth in order to establish a good ground, and it's a toughie. Let's see what Craig's got to say. KD2CXK, K2RIW in the TechNet. Wait for the four beeps.
Okay, the National Electric Code states that the resistance between the ground rod and the end of the cable to be grounded must not exceed 25 ohms. If it does, you have to add an additional ground rod a minimum of 6 feet apart from the first ground rod, and you continue that until your resistance drops below 25 ohms.
Now, to use the neutral of your power system, your box, so to speak, your circuit breaker panel, to use that neutral as a reference is, in some cases, a little bit of a problem, because the whole pig transformer, the line-dropping transformer that takes the 13 kilovolts or 6 kilovolts, whatever the distribution voltage is in your neighborhood, and that transformer on top of the utility pole brings it down to the 240 with center tap with 120 each side that comes into your house, that utility pole is supposed to have a butt plate, in other words, a metallic plate at the bottom of the pole that grounds that transformer. That, in turn, by way of the third wire coming into the house, establishes your neutral. That's if everything is done correctly. I have discovered that, at least in my neighborhood, after some of those telephone poles get struck by an automobile, and that piece of 4-gauge or 6-gauge wire, and that semi-round piece of wood coming down the utility pole that's supposed to be grounding that pole pig transformer, sometimes that is not reestablished. And so I have seen a couple of cases of where the grounding system of somebody else's house was grounding the pole pig transformer. The good news is that two or three houses were wired together to one transformer. The butt plate was no longer wired, and therefore the grounding was being established by one of those houses. And they finally discovered what was going on because somebody put a clamp-on ammeter on the water pipe of that house, measured a significant amount of current, and realized what was going on. So you better do a little bit of checking, because sometimes the grounding of the powering system of your repeater...
Time out.
As I was starting to say, the grounding system of your house could sometimes be a little bit spooky, and it certainly was in my neighborhood. And how it really came to a head is that because three houses were wired together to one transformer, only one of those houses was supplying the ground because the pole pig transformer itself was not grounded. And what finally happened is that an automobile struck that telephone pole, and all of a sudden 6,000 volts or whatever came roaring into one of those houses and burned down the fuse box. And the guy is awfully lucky it didn't burn down the house. So in order to do a little bit of checking, clamp on ammeter on your water pipe going out of the house, if you see any substantial amount of current there, you really should start asking questions, what's going on. Anyway, if you have any further comments on this, give me your call letters right now. K2RIW in the TechNet.
KC2Q.
Okay, that was a double, but I heard Glenn. I'll pick him up first. Go ahead, Glenn.
And I have a comment also.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, why?
And Doug recognized. You got it, Glenn.
Very good, Jack. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing that when you start looking at grounding, but always putting the current meter on your ground is a very, very important thing to do, especially from the box going into the web that you have going into your ground rod. There should be zero current on that thing. I mean, realistically, you don't want to see any current on it. If there is, you really want to call an electrician in or the power company, get them involved and see what's going on and to get that problem corrected quickly. My other comment, Dick, was on the, if you live in a place like Rocky Point or some extremely rocky area, the industrial solution, if you want to put a really good ground rod in this, you get an industrial drill, and you drill right through that rock, and you can go down, have them drill into you 20 feet. And I mean, they have beautiful industrial drills that are like, you know, 8-inch width. They'll go down 20 feet, and then basically put your ground rod, sink it in there, and then just surround it with soil, and you've got one heck of a ground. K2IW, KC2, QIQ.
KC2DNY, question. And DNY recognized, and you're about the third person on the list. Whenever we all should measure the amount of current coming into the main water supply of the house, and that current better be low by way of a clamp-on ammeter, there are multiple stories where somebody has a main shut-off valve inside the house for the main pipe coming into the house, which when they turn it off, it drips. In other words, it doesn't completely turn it off. And somebody says, well, okay, I'll install another one. Well, when that plumber opens up that piece of pipe in order to replace that particular valve, if he's not smart enough to measure the current ahead of time and or put a great big grounding system, in other words, a pair of very large clamps, as if it was a jumper cable, between those two pieces of pipe before he opens them up.
Repeater, timeout.
If he doesn't put that great big clamp on those two pieces of pipe ahead of time, there are multiple stories of somebody having one piece of pipe in each hand as he separated that to start the process of replacing that valve, and all of a sudden thousands of volts appeared across his hands, and in some cases he died. So you got to really worry about how much current and how many volts capability, because if there's 13.2 kilovolts as the distribution voltage in your neighborhood, and if that pole pig transformer is not properly being grounded by its buck plate right at the bottom of that utility pole, then there is the possibility that 13.2 kilovolts appears across your water pipe when somebody opens it up. So keep that in mind. KC2WGB, K2RIW, go ahead, John.
NY2HF,
KC2WGB. Well, you're absolutely right, Dick, but in that case, you have to remember the rule is the ground connection is supposed to be made immediately as it enters the building before the valve. That's why it's done that way. So if the plumber wants to do it on the fly, just open the valve and change it or remove it, whatever, he can do it in complete safety. And the other thing is what you were talking about before with grounding. That's why in New York City code, anyway, we not only have to have it grounded to the cold water pipe coming in, but we also have to have a ground rod now at the meter pan. So those are the two safeties that we have now. KC2WGB, back to you, Dick.
Yeah, thank you, John. Dennis recognized, but there was one person ahead of you. It sounded like DNY, Delta November Yankee, question mark. Give us the full call and your name, and then proceed with your comment or question. K2RIW in the TechNet. My name is Dick.
Good evening, Dick. KD2DNY. I recently put up an antenna on a roof. The antenna is placed on a roof. I have a 9-gauge wire going, 8-gauge wire going down to the ground, connected to an 8-foot ground wire, an 8-foot ground pipe that that goes into the ground. So from what I am understanding, I also now need an additional wire that goes to my electrical system. Now, where is this hooked up? Does it matter? Do I hook this additional wire up to the top of the antenna and bring it to my electrical system? Or do I go to my ground wire on the bottom and bring it to my electrical system? Does it matter?
Say what?
Casey, it's here. Keep right here with the comment. I was going to turn it over to you. Glenn's going to answer that one. Then we're going to pick up Dennis, and then Doug, in that order. KC2QIQ, K2RW, go ahead, Glenn. Glenn? There are two safety things to keep in mind here. One is never attach a ground wire from your antenna system over to your electrical box or your electrical system ground system. Never do this. Never take your antenna system or anything and attach it over to your Cablevision ground rod system. Your grounding system for your antenna should be its own ground. And as far as tying the grounds together, the minute you connect your antenna up to your transceiver and it's plugged into a 3-pin wall outlet, the tie together is complete through the safety ground in the wall of your house. So in other words, you don't want currents in your grounds, so you never want to tie them together. So what basically is happening is that you have the third pin on your transceiver or the power supply to your transceiver that gets plugged into the wall. Your power supply should be grounded to your transceiver. Your antenna wire should come in and attach to your radio. But all of the grounding is done outside and independent. Do not tie those rods together. In other words, the only place where you want to attach to the ground rod is where the wire is coming into the house. So if you've got the coax coming in, put a ground rod there. The ground rod should already be there for your electrical system. That you leave alone. Don't touch that. If there's one coming in for your Cablevision system, don't touch it. In other words, when you're putting in your antenna system, that's the one you're responsible for. Make sure that's the ground and then basically make sure there's a ground rod where your cable coaxes are coming into your house. KC2QIQ.
Right on, Clay. All right, so again, then I guess I have nothing to do. My antenna is grounded properly. It's grounded from the antenna, connected with an 8-gauge wire down to an 8-foot pipe into the ground. So there's nothing else I need to do, correct?
The other suggestion I can make is that if you have a coaxial cable coming into your house, in other words, if your antenna is grounded at the roof, coming down into the ground, that should be a ground rod there. If you want a little bit more belt and suspenders, where the coaxial cables are entering the house, usually you have a bulkhead or some feed-through point over there, it's a good place to put in a set of back-to-back connectors and a bullet right there. Put a clamp on that, run another 6-gauge wire over to a ground rod very, very close to the ground, right next to the house, maybe about 12 inches off the foundation, and drive it down 8 feet, you should be good to go. And any time you have a coaxial cable or a feed line wire coming in and out of the living area of the house, you should really always have a ground rod right at that point. But here again, that's an added level of protection. KC2QIQ.
Okay, I'm a little confused. So you just wrap the ground wire around the coax without, obviously you can't splice into the coax. So you're just going to put a clamp on the outside of the coax with another ground wire before it goes into the house.
The way I do it is I split the coaxial cable. I cut the coaxial cable in half. I put a connector on either side, the male connector on either side, and then put a bullet attachment point connector in the middle. So now you've got two connectors on the outside and the bullet in the middle. Now you can put a grounding clamp right on the bullet, and then from the grounding clamp, you run the wire into the ground rod. Make sense? KC2QIQ.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, but I thought you weren't supposed to damage the outside of the dielectric on a cable, because then you let water into the system and it disturbs your electrical characteristics of the coaxial cable.
Dick, I'm going to pass that one over to you. K2RW, KC2QIQ.
Stop it in the scotch pit.
Yeah, we've got connectors on the end of all of our coax cables where it goes to the antenna, and in many cases where it goes to a feed-through connector, a double female, to get through the wall or get into the house. And so on each one of these places where the cable ends in a connector, a whole bunch of weatherproofing procedures are required if you want the system to have any longevity. So, yes, you're adding some extra effort to do weatherproofing when you add the bullet that Glenn just described, which itself has a grounding connector on it. And the quick question I've got for you, Glenn, is that, yes, you're not supposed to touch the grounding for the power system. You're not supposed to touch the grounding for the cable system and so on. And our antenna cable coming into the house has its own separate ground. However, one ground does get connected to the other by way of the rig. A coax cable attaches to the box of my transmitter. The third pin on the plug of my transmitter goes into the wall. That goes back to the fuse panel. So indirectly, they do become connected in that manner. If I understand correctly, that's hunky-dory. But don't violate it by external wiring outside the house, or don't do anything that looks like you've connected a ground from the fuse box, so to speak, into the grounding of the antenna wire coming into the house. Have I got that correct, Glenn? KC2QIQ, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Right on, Dick. You got it 100%. And the reasoning there is because, think about it this way. If you start connecting grounds on the outside of the house, around, basically what you could be doing is creating ground loops. So in other words, you want to have your protective earth. In other words, when you put your hand on the radio inside the house, you want that ground to be directly related to the third pin in the wall, so that there's no electrical shock hazard. If you start tying things together along the outside of the house, you can create ground loops and ground faults that will go outside of the protection systems within your house. It could bypass your circuit breakers. It could bypass your ground fault interruption circuits. So this way, once all of your grounds end in open circuits to protective earth outside the house, you're good to go. And then the tie together is always the neutral system of the house and the ground system of the house. And then all of your circuit breakers will work properly, all your ground fault interrupters will work properly. Once you tie them together around the outside of the house, you don't know, all bets are off. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Okay, we've got Dennis and Doug in that order. NY2HF, K2RIW. Give us as much audio as you can, Dennis, and go right ahead.
Thank you, Dick, and good evening to everybody on the net, and an almost happy Thanksgiving. The question I have is, I'm out here in Woodchuck Land, unlike John on Staten Island with his water pipes. We have a well, which is not even metal pipes, it's plastic. How would I go about checking to see what the ohms are, whether they meet that 25 ohm threshold or not, on the system that I have? I have no gas pipes, and I have no no water pipes going to a municipality. So how would I go about checking that I'm not the ground of the three houses who's going to get zapped when somebody hits the pole? Back to the net.
Yeah, darn good question, Glenn. I mean, Dennis. Glenn, what would you do in his case in order to rest easy on proper grounding? KC2QIQ, K2RIW, and ZECNAT.
In a residential home where you're out in the boondocks and you don't really have other grounds, you're actually in a better situation than you are in the city. In the city, because there are so many grounds close by to each other with separate ground circulation currents, that's what causes the problem. When you're out in the boondocks, you actually have a better situation. The only thing you have to worry about in your particular case is at your circuit breaker box, where the power line entrance in your power meter is located. At the box, the neutral and the ground should be tied together. So in other words, if you've got where all the grounds get tied together, you should have a strap that's at least capable of handling a minimum of your service capability. So in other words, if you've got 200 amp service capability in that box, make sure that your neutral and your ground are tied together with at least 200 amperes worth of connection wire between neutral and ground. And then have your lightning protection running just outside the box going into the ground with at least an 8-foot rod, and you're good to go. Don't worry about measuring ohms. K2IW, KC2QIQ.
If his house, though, in Kutchuk is up to code, it is my belief that there is a 8-foot grounding rod on the outside of his house, very close to where his service line enters the house. And that's his belt and suspenders. And that hopefully will protect him from the situation where the butt plate on his pole pig transformer may not be properly grounded, because that telephone pole 5 years ago was hit by an automobile. It was replaced and it wasn't
up here for a minute.
It wasn't properly rewired. Go ahead, Glenn.
If the grounding system on the power utility fails, there's probably nothing you can do on your end to fix the situation. It's something that if you detect odd things happening and your house hasn't burned down yet and gone on fire, you call in the authorities, electricians, whoever is necessary to fix the situation, whether it's at the pole or at your house, get it fixed quickly. Because, as I said, you could ground any way you want in your house. If that pig pole ground disappears for any length of time, you could put as many ground rods as you want in the ground. You could quadruple the wire. The feed that's coming from the power company could possibly burn your house down no matter what. So there really is nothing you can do to fix that situation other than make sure that they've done their due diligence to make sure that all those other grounds on their end, meaning the utility, are correct and that you have the correct ground rod on your end. And I would imagine that the utility companies and everything, they're following the codes pretty carefully, and ground systems aren't as bad as they used to be. But here again, the situation that you're talking about, there isn't a lot you can do about other than just hope your house doesn't burn down. K2IW, KC2QIQ.
NY2HF with a comment.
Yeah, but here we go. Something first. Assuming that Dennis does have a grounding rod outside of his house where the service enters the house, and if he does a belt and suspenders check, he puts a clamp on ammeter on the wiring going to that grounding rod. If the Long Island Lighting Company, LIPA, has done their job correctly on the butt plate on his pole pig transformer, there should be essentially zero current flowing in that wire going to his local grounding rod. I mean, this is a way that you and I can quantitatively make a measurement that everything's hunky-dory. On top of that, he can also do a visual inspection. He walks over to that pole pig transformer that services his house. He looks at that particular utility pole, and at least his eye will confirm that there is a real piece of wire going from that pole pig transformer down the side of the utility pole and hopefully connected to that butt plate. Am I at least close to the right procedure here, Glenn? KC2QIQ, K2LIW in the TechNet.
Yeah, absolutely, Dick. You're right on the money. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to make sure that the utility has done their job and that your house is also compliant. But as I said, the key, the proof of the pudding, so to speak, is putting that current meter on that ground wire. So if you've got a clamp-on current meter, AC current meter, and you see the ground wire coming between your box and the ground rod outside your house, and you clamp it around it, and you see zero current on it, you're good to go. You probably don't have to do a heck of a lot more. But if you do see current in it, yes, it's possible that the pig pole transformer is losing its ground or has a problem, but you can still have a problem in your house. So it could be a problem on both ends. In other words, you can have situations where you have improper wiring or improper grounding, where things are dumping power into ground, and you'll wind up with a return through that ground rod. So it doesn't necessarily have to be just the utility that's at fault. So you could have a problem with the wiring in your house as well. K2RW, KC2QIQ.
BGB would have come in.
Yeah, before I turn it back to Dennis first and then John in that order, you just brought up another very good point, John, Glenn, and that is I could have an appliance. Let me pick something. A vacuum cleaner, where the vacuum cleaner has improper wiring within the vacuum cleaner, where a significant amount of current from the hot side of LIPA, my red wire or my black wire coming into the house, goes to my vacuum cleaner. That in turn, because of an error, is dumping current into the shield of the vacuum cleaner, which by way of the third pin going into the wall, at least the vacuum cleaner is safe, but it is dumping current into my neutral, which might show up as my current that I see with a clamp on the ammeter going into my grounding rod. So if I do measure current into my grounding rod, it might not represent a LIPA error. It could
repeater. Time out.
Give up.
It could be a could be an error in the appliances in my house, and I better check that first. Give me some words on that one, Glenn. KC2QIQ, K2LIW and the tech man. N2LD1.
I think you have LDY in there also, Dick. Yeah, you're right on. But here's the key thing to keep in mind. If the ground system at your box, the neutral is tied to the ground at the service box, leakage won't show up in your ground, which is a good thing. The other thing is that, but if there's a problem with the way that the box is wired, or wires are broken, so in other words, you don't have a good third wire ground system inside the house where it's not very, very tied closely to the neutral at that point, then you could wind up with leakage problems that will wind up in the ground. So it's usually a double fault. In other words, you'd have to have an appliance that failed and a problem with how the neutral and the ground are tied together at the box. So you really want to have the electrician tie the neutral and the ground at the box, have the ground wire, have the ground rod going in the ground for the lightning protection, and then even with leakage, shouldn't give you that problem. But here again, generally that's a double fault. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
JB with a comment.
Jeff with a comment.
Yeah, right now we've got Dennis, Doug, and John in that order, and then, wait a minute, here we go. Dennis, Doug, Don, and then John in that order. Dennis, NY2H, go right ahead. K2RIW in the tech man.
Thank you, Dick. Number one, I'm fortunate where I have the transformer at the edge of property, and yes, it does have a ground that goes down into the ground. I've seen that stake, I've seen it attached, I've never measured it. Number two, I've had lots of problems with LIPA sending 257 volts down the line and frying some of my sensitive electronics in the house. So that's past history. Number three, it's amazing that you brought up a point that I never even thought about. My ground, the only one that I'm aware of, is over by my air conditioning condensers, which is about 40 feet from the service box in the basement. So unless there's another one, which I'm unaware of, it's 40 feet from the service box. So that's probably not a good thing for the household. So I might have to look into that. But back to the net. Thank you, Dave.
Yes, Glenn, where his air conditioning ground for his house is 40 feet away from his service box, that doesn't sound to me like it is up to the current code. KC2QIQ, K2LIW in the tech net.
Well, if I'm understanding Dennis correctly, it sounds like his air conditioning system is up to code. In other words, because that's a device mounted outside the house which has a matching pair of wires that come back in, that could get struck by lightning and bring lightning back to the house, you of course want the ground rod there. But on the other end, where the service comes in by the service box, two requirements you really want to have. One is you want to have a short ground wire, less than 12 feet long, from the service box going into an external ground no closer than 12 inches off of the foundation, at least 8 foot in length with 6-gauge wire. And also in the box, the ground and the neutral tied together at the box right there. So those are basically the three most important safety things in residential wiring, Vic. you want to make sure that those things are available. But I would say that Dennis, take a look around the box and see if where the ground wire does go. It may actually go, because in other words, the ground wire on the air conditioner should come back to a ground rod outside and should be wired back through the neutral system. Let me let it drop for a second. So if you look at the ground, basically what's going on is that ground wire comes back to the box, and then at the box you have to have another ground rod there. I would say search for that other ground wire. If there isn't, call an electrician, have one put in. K2RW, KC2QIQ.
KC2MDP. MDP recognized, and there's three people ahead of you. Doug, W2SAY, you're the next person, go right ahead. K2RW in the tech net.
W2SAY, I hope I let everything time out. I could be another couple of seconds. Okay, I heard a beep. Anyway, I wanted to get to something with the ground. You may know, or somebody may know, that my son works for the telephone company, and occasionally they run into a telephone pole which is live, which means that the ground wire is not grounded at the bottom, and also something is leaking at the top. And I happened to be over in his place last summer, and he said that just a day or two ago, one of the installers was electrocuted by touching a pole. The pole, of course, I guess absorbs water and it becomes a conductor, and as you pointed out, 13,000 volts or something like that at the top. What they do, as a matter of fact, my son also found a live pole, but I don't know how he tests for it. I guess he's got some sort of a meter. But he also found a live pole. What they do under those cases, they call the power company right away, and the power company has to come and fix it. And in the meantime, the telephone company has to stay there and watch it that nobody touches the pole. So those things do happen, apparently, and as I say, he told me a man got killed just a day or two earlier with that same problem. So anyway, I'm a little bit sensitive to all of this, as my best man got electrocuted in a home accident many, many years ago. So I kind of watch that kind of thing. Back to that, I got to go now anyway. W82SAY, clear.
Very fine, Doug. And we got to be careful. In the case of Dennis, where he has PVC pipe coming into his house from his own well, he doesn't have the normal ground that many of us have. Some of the best grounds that we have in our house is the copper pipe coming in. And even there, though, we should periodically put a clamp on ammeter, make sure that there's no significant current flowing through that. That should be the backup system, not the primary grounding for LIPA's pole pig transformer. It's got to be the putt blade, otherwise you've got a hot utility pole, if you know what I mean. And it occurred right across the street from me not too many years ago. We've got John, Don, and Steve in that order. John, KC2, WGB, K2LIW in the TechNet. Go ahead, John.
Okay, Dick. Look, a very simple check is you monitor your ground current. Turn off the main breaker in the house. If you have a faulty pole pick ground and there's unbalanced current, because it's only going to carry current when you have an unbalanced load, so throughout the neighborhood you will have an unbalanced load. If your home is providing the ground for the system, when you turn that main breaker off, you're going to detect current on your ground. So that's another way to check it, and there should be zero current there when your house is turned off.
That's a darn good point. And then when I turn my house back on, if everything's hunky-dory, that current flowing into my ground rod should still be zero. If I now start seeing a significant amount of current flowing into that ground rod when my house is live, it suggests that something in my house is not correct. Is that approximately true, John? KC2WGB, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Well, Dick, it could be conducting the current that the neutral back to the pole is not conducting, and that's not normal. So there's another issue, which could be in one of the compression connectors on the service drop.
Yeah, we've got to be a little bit careful on this one now, because the pole pig transformer really is a 240-volt center tap. The secondary winding of that transformer, the drop transformer, is 240 volts for the center tap, and so you're getting 220 on each side. And One side is the red wire. Some people call it the A phase. And the other wire is the black wire. Some people call it the B phase. And if I've got a whole lot of A appliances turned on and no B appliances turned on, then I will be supplying a unbalanced current into the neutral, which is not necessarily a fault of my appliances. So now I think there's a way that I could develop a false alarm here where my house might be okay, yet I might see a small amount of current flowing into my ground when I make my house go back live after the first test where I want zero current when my house is no longer, when that circuit breaker is pulled. KC2WGB, K2RIW in the TechNet.
KC2QIQ with a comment.
Dick, I don't agree with that. It should be returning back to the neutral wire coming in on the drop. There should be almost zero current on that ground to your water system. All of that returned current, which is an unbalanced load, should be returning on the neutral wire that comes in with the 2 feet.
Right on.
Yep, I'm beginning to see it. Okay, looks like we made some progress on that one. Don was the next person who signed in. N2LVY, K2RIW. Go ahead, Don.
Good evening, Dick. Good evening, Annette. Just want to clarify something in my own mind here. So, the water meter coming in, right? So I put the meter on there, make sure there's no current flowing. But from the main box, well, at least it's the house that I'm working on now, from the main box there's a ground line hooked in there into the bus. And that goes directly out of the house, and there's a ground rod right there. So I have the potential of having current flowing in two different directions. So I guess I need to make sure there's, I guess the current would split then, is really my question. So if there was a problem, the current could be split between the water main coming in and the ground line that's going out of the house from the main panel box into the ground right there.
Not true. Stand by. What John just brought to our attention is that if the pole pig transformer outside your house is properly wired with its local ground on its butt plate right at that utility pole, if that's working correctly, and if there's no major fault in the wiring in your house, there should be zero current flowing into your water pipe entering the house. There should be zero current, or darn close to zero current, flowing into the ground wire of the grounding rod that is right where your drop enters the house that goes to the fuse panel. So all places in your house where you're measuring grounding current should be essentially zero. And if you don't see zero, it's time to start finding out why. It's my understanding of what I'm hearing. Anybody want to give me, John or Glenn, want to give me a comment on that if it's required? K2RIW in the TechNet.
KC2QIQ.
You got it, Glenn.
I just want to affirm, Dick, 100%. There should be no ground currents in ground wires. And when I say ground currents in ground wires, especially when you're talking about grounding rods. In other words, if you've got grounding rods outside your house, there should be no current in them, ever. that's a good ground. When there's no current in that ground wire, your electrical system is working properly. And that should be true of all the ground rods. So in other words, if you go around to any ground rod around your house and you clamp a current meter on it and look at it, it should say 000. It should be nothing on it. If there's current, that means that something is miswired someplace and sneak current is going into the ground. So that's where you really want to stop, just like you said, and take a look and find out what's wrong, because something is wrong. If you can't figure it out yourself at that point in time, and it's not something obvious, get an electrician. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Yeah, I'm going to add a couple of words on this one. As I see it, that grounding rod that exists right outside your house where your drop comes to your house, that is a backup. It should not be the primary ground. That is the backup. If something goes wrong with that grounding at the butt plate of the pole pig transformer, if that grounding rod, which is the backup right at your fuse panel, if that wasn't there, then in theory your house could be 13.2 kilovolts above ground. And if that occurs, oh boy, you're in trouble. You're using your electric shaver. One hand is on the electric shaver, and the other hand touches the water faucet, and 13 kilovolts appears between the two, and you're going to be unhappy. So you don't want that grounding rod or your water pipe to be supplying ground. That's the backup. Don't use the backup, if you know what I mean. I got that approximately right, Glenn? KC2QIQ, K2LIW, and the TechNet.
Right on, Dick. 100% well said. K2LIW, KC2QIQ.
Okay, we're making progress. Steve, KC2MDP, K2LIW, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dick. Good evening to everyone on the net tonight. Earlier, Dick, you had hit the nail right on the head as far as the water ground. The water pipe is basically your main ground. Ground rod isn't going to do anything. If there's a potential problem, it's going to be the water pipe that carries that load. Ground rod, I've never seen a ground rod do anything. I've tried several experiments with ground rods, trying to even get a single light bulb to light, even in wet ground with a ground rod. It doesn't work. It is the water ground that basically your primary ground, basically your ground rod is just there for lightning protection. Back to you.
Yeah, I think what you said is essentially right, but I'm going to modify it a little bit. If anything's wrong with LIPA wiring, such that their grounding is less than perfect, and therefore there is some neutral current in your house that has to flow somewhere, by far the water pipe ground probably is milliohms to earth as opposed to the grounding rod, which might be 25 ohms to earth. So therefore, the way current is going to seek the least number of ohms and it's going to flow there, therefore most likely that improper current is going to flow into your water pipe. So therefore, I guess when you're testing the quality of the wiring of your house, put the clamp-on ammeter on the water pipe first. And then, while you're there, what the hell, put the clamp-on ammeter going to the wire going to the grounding rod. And all of those should be damn close to zero, if not start asking questions. And had that neighbor of mine across the street had done that experiment, he wouldn't have had the problem where 13 kilovolts did enter his house when an automobile struck that telephone pole. Lots of improper grounding was taking place there somewhere. Anybody with any further comments on all of the above, give me a call, let us right now, K2LIW in the TechNet.
WGP with a comment.
Go ahead, John.
KC2WGP. Don't forget, Dick, also, when you see the traveling distribution wires, you'll see that you have two insulated and usually one bare, usually it's aluminum. But many times above that are the 13 kV and the 35 kV 460 blocks running down the street. If one of those wires should happen to break and fall down on that neutral, now the pole pick transformer ground and your ground is going to be what trips the fault interrupter at the station. So that's another reason why that is done. But now if it hits the high voltage line hits one of the distribution lines, now you've got that 13.8 or the 35 coming in on one of the so-called phases that you mentioned. Now it has to go through many breakers and circuits before it's going to get to ground, and that's where a lot of damage happens. KC2WGB.
Yeah, those distribution high voltage lines falling on anything else, I'd like to believe, other than a Hurricane Gloria, so to speak, that's not going to happen. Okay. But I guess a tree falling could do it, and not so likely. Not very many trees are high enough to hit the top of that wiring. Well, I take it back. In my community, that could happen. Many of the oak trees in my community are 85 foot high, and the utility poles are not 85 feet high. So a worst-case tree falling could create that incident. Something to worry about a little bit. A crazy story. That is the... I probably told you this guy, these guys... I told you this 10 years ago, somebody entered the antenna department, the antenna testing anechoic chamber at Airborne Instruments Laboratory, and said, how are you guys grounding those antennas?